The following commentary is for educational purposes only. Always consult the appropriate tax, legal, or financial professionals before acting on any information heard in this program.
Welcome to the IRA Brothers Podcast. I'm Nick Edwards.
And I'm Nathan Edwards.
And this is episode number 3. And this time, Nate, we got a request from our biggest and singular fan saying, please, will you guys discuss what these RMDs are all about that we mentioned in the first two shows about the traditional IRA and the Roth IRA. So that's what we're going to do today. Nate, the RMD stands for?
Required Minimum Distribution.
And what is the purpose of the required minimum distribution?
The government would like to be paid.
And that's particularly important for tax-deferred accounts like the traditional IRA because?
Well, as you recall from episode 1, traditional IRAs are contributed to on a tax-deductible basis, which means you don't pay taxes on the dollars that go into it, and then they grow tax-deferred, which means you don't pay taxes on the interest as it grows.
So that's a double whammy. The IRS says, we'd really like to get our hands on the tax money when you earn it in the form of income taxes, and we'd also like to get some taxes on that interest you're earning. So first you have the tax deduction when you fund it, paying no taxes on the income you receive that year. Then you get the deferral, not paying taxes on the growth you're receiving each year.
That's right. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, that same principle applies to other tax-deferred accounts, and those include 401ks, 403bs, 457s, simple IRAs, SEP IRAs, and thrift savings plans, among a couple of others. But we'll cover those specific types of accounts later on. Right now, we're going to try to cover the general idea of RMDs, or required minimum distributions.
And this is something that I've found over the years always seems to take clients by surprise when they find out that once they reach a certain age, the IRS is going to make them start taking money. And a lot of people don't necessarily want to because they don't need the money and they don't want to have to start paying those taxes on it. So what is that magical age where people have to start taking these RMDs?
So the year in which we turn 70 and a half, we have to start taking required minimum distributions. And that distribution is based on what I like to call our government-appointed life expectancy. So the way that it's calculated is the balance in question. So imagine that we have a traditional IRA. We look at the balance of that account on December 31st of the previous year. We then take our government-appointed life expectancy, utilize that as the denominator, and we are left with our required minimum distribution. So for example, the first year, if we are age 70 by December 31st of the year in which we need to take our first required minimum distribution, the denominator is 27.4 years. So we would take our account balance, divide that by 27.4, and it would give us the amount of money that we have to take out of that account for that year. And now the proceeds from that account or from that distribution would be taxed at our then normal income tax rate. Now, 27.4 in that first year is approximately equivalent to 3.65%.
And that's a good point to make because a lot of people are wondering just how much money am I going to have to take out of this thing? Quick math tells you it's about 3.65% of the combined balance of those IRA accounts. Now, what if you have multiple IRA accounts? What if you have an IRA account and a 401k account, 403b accounts? You've had lots of jobs over the years. How do you deal with that?
So for IRA accounts, you can take your required minimum distribution for the year out of one account, even if you have multiple accounts. So say you have three different IRA accounts set up, one at Bank A, one at Investment Company B, and one with some guy that you just met who says that he's opening up your IRA account. You can take your entire required minimum distribution out of any one of those accounts, and it will satisfy your required minimum distribution for the year.
Mm-hmm.
That is also the case for a 403b account. For all other types of deferred accounts to which required minimum distributions apply, that is not the case. You have to take it out of each individual account that you have. So if you have three 401ks, one from your current employer and two from old employers, you have to take your required minimum distribution out of each one of those accounts separately.
So to clarify, if I've got three IRA accounts and $100,000 in each of them for a grand total of $300,000, I can take that distribution from one of those accounts, but it has to be based on the aggregate total of all of those accounts combined.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, I cannot include the balance of my 403bs, for example. I need to take that out of a 403b account, and I also need to aggregate the balance of all my 403b accounts in that calculation if I have more than
one. Yes, that's correct also. So we can't, although we can combine IRA accounts or we can combine 403b accounts, we cannot combine IRA and 403b accounts to satisfy that lump sum total.
When is the date that I have to have that distribution, that required minimum distribution out of there? You keep mentioning the age of 70. When do I actually have to have it out of the account?
So for IRA type accounts, and this includes traditional IRAs, SEP IRAs, and simple IRAs. Again, we will speak more about those other types of IRAs at some later date, but just think in general, if it's an IRA-based account, you have to take it out by April 1st following the year in which you turn 70 and a half. So if I turn 70 and a half in August of 2017, I have until April 1st of 2018 to take out my required minimum distribution.
But there's a little bit of a catch. What happens if you wait until April 1st of that next year to take it out?
Okay, so the catch can be tricky. In each subsequent year, your required minimum distribution has to be taken out by December 31st of that year. So if you wait until April 1st of the following year to take that first distribution, you are actually taking 2 years' worth of required minimum distributions out in 1 year.
Yes.
So again, to continue our example, if I turn age 70 and a half in August of 2017, and I choose to wait until April 1st to take out my required minimum distribution...
Of 2018,
I still have to take out 2018's required minimum distribution by December 31st of 2018, which means that I have taken 2 distributions out of my accounts in the same year, which can create tax headaches.
Most of the time we tell folks, go ahead and take that first distribution out in the year that you turn 70 and a half to avoid this double distribution in 1 year, because then you have to pay tax on 2 distributions in 1 year.
Sure.
So let's just quickly revisit the Roth IRAs, because RMDs apply to those in a little bit different fashion. Nate, what's the story with RMDs as far as they relate to the Roth IRA account?
So with a Roth IRA, and this is kind of what brought up the discussion of RMDs during our last episode, we do not have to take a distribution out of a Roth IRA in the year in which we turn 70 and a half. In fact, we never have to take a required minimum distribution out of a Roth IRA. Now, if we pass our Roth IRA on to our beneficiary, they have the option of taking a distribution all at once on a tax-free basis, or they can choose to distribute it to themselves according to their life expectancy if they really want to stretch it out.
And we should probably spend a little more time on one thing we mentioned in passing the last show, and that is the case of people that are still working with certain types of plans and how the RMDs apply to them. What are the exemptions for people that can turn 70 and a half but do not have to start taking an RMD?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. So for non-IRA-based accounts, so this would include things like your 401k, 403b, 457, thrift savings plan. If you are still working when you turn age 70 and a half, you do not have to start taking your required minimum distributions until after you are separated from service and are age 70 and a half. So say, for example, that you continue to work until you're age 75. By the following April 1st, after you separate from service, you have to take your first required minimum distribution. Now, there is one catch to even this. If you own more than 5% of the company sponsoring your 401k plan, you still have to take your required minimum distribution in the year in which you turn 70 and a half.
Even if you're still working.
Even if you're still working.
Now, we should also mention, just because the names sound similar, that there's this thing called an individual 401k, or sometimes in industry parlance, they call it a solo K. In that case, you would be a 100% shareholder / owner of the company. It doesn't matter if you're still working or not. When you turn 70 and a half, if you have a solo K at the place where you work and you own the company, you have to start taking the distributions.
It should also be mentioned that there's a weird quirk about the Roth 401k. So as we know, we do not have to take required minimum distributions from our Roth IRA.
Yes.
But if we have been making Roth contributions, that is after-tax contributions into our 401k plan, after we retire, if we leave our assets inside of our previous employer's plan, we have to take required minimum distributions even from the Roth portion of that 401k. However, if we roll the Roth portion of our 401k into a Roth IRA, you are no longer going to be forced to take those required minimum distributions. I use the word forced, and in this case, it's pretty applicable. What happens if I don't take my required minimum distributions?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because this just happens to be the most intense penalty levied by the IRS. If you fail to take your required minimum distributions, the IRS will penalize you 50% of what you should have taken. So it's important for people to make sure that they're aware of how the RMDs work and that they start taking those things when they're supposed to, because the IRS does not fool around about missing these payments.
So not only do you have to pay 50% of what you were supposed to have taken, but you also still have to take the distribution and pay income taxes on that. So this penalty for not taking your required minimum distributions is huge. Now, If you are listening to this right now and are sweating bullets because you're 71 years old and knew nothing about this and haven't yet taken a required minimum distribution, we would encourage you to immediately take the distribution that is required of you and write a letter to the IRS telling them exactly why you did not take your distribution. Now, if you didn't take your distribution because you just didn't feel like it, plan on being penalized. But if you genuinely didn't know about it or were sick or there were some other circumstances in which you just it escaped your mind, we've personally seen instances in which the IRS has been pretty forgiving because I think they also understand that that is a pretty steep penalty if it is a genuine accident. So if you feel like you have missed required minimum distributions in the past, take corrective action immediately and ask for forgiveness, and it might be granted to you.
We call that the big heart, empty head clause.
Right, but we definitely encourage you not to try to skimp on this one, because if they say no and you have to pay those penalties, you will be very sorry.
And on that note, I'll just mention, you know, over the years of watching clients age and hit this required minimum distribution date, some investment companies are pretty good about letting people know when that's approaching. Some companies will even just start sending the money out, whether you tell them to or not. And then sometimes companies won't say anything about it, and they'll just assume that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So the onus is really on the account owner to make sure they're staying on top of this.
That's right.
And with that, we'll conclude our overview of the RMD, or required minimum distribution.